I'm turning again to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. He's writing to Christian believers and exhorting them to live the sort of life that Christ had called these people to. And I want to read 5 verses again to you to fix them in our minds. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Sorry, 6 verses. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving all thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to ask a question for our thinking here this evening, a question that's often asked. What is Christianity? What is Christianity? Well, if we were to seek an answer to this in a theological sense, we would say that Christianity is atonement by Christ, as we've just been singing. The fact that we can have our sins forgiven and forgotten by God, by the sacrifice of his Son upon the cross. That's what the Christian faith is all about. It is about a substitution. Christ dying in the place of sinners like us, whereby God justifies the sinner. He declares and counts them as righteous in his sight, because they are given, they are imputed, the very righteousness, the very goodness of God. That is the sort of theological answer to the question, what is the Christian faith? It is a faith that's all to do with forgiveness. It's to do with being granted heaven instead of hell. That's what Christianity is. It is to do with salvation and conversion, Christian conversion, whereby a person comes and repents of their sin and trusts in the Saviour and yields up their lives to be the Lord's. Well, we have to keep on at this all the time, because it is the least known answer in this world as to what Christianity is. People have all sorts of answers to such a question, asked in different situations, different countries, different theological backgrounds. Well, we have to keep on about the fact that the Christian faith is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, by repentance and faith, God working in the heart of the sinner. But there is a sense in which, if the question is asked honestly, what is meant is, what are the characteristics of the Christian faith? What is Christianity in that sense? What should I see in the life of someone who professes to be a Christian? What are we to look for to be able to say that this is real Christianity? We have some countries around the world. I just think of one immediately, that country of Lebanon. And in that country there are many Muslims. And the media would tell us also that there are many Christians, Roman Catholic Christians, some evangelical Christians. But that population there is known as Muslim and also Christian. Well, and there are different flavours of that in the government itself, perhaps more predominantly Muslim at this time. But the fact is, when people say, what is Christian, they would be thinking of those sort of people that live there that are not actually Muslims. But how much are their lives, the life of these so-called Christians, really Christian? What about those large swathes of Roman Catholicism in Southern Europe or South America or in some parts of the United States, where people would say they were Christian? How can we tell? Is that really Christian? Is that the Christian faith? What does the Bible tell us about the characteristics of true Christianity? Now, of course, we're not interested in an academic answer here this evening. What we really want is an examination of such a question in order to ask, is this what I'm searching for? This is why I'm here on a Sunday evening. Is this what I'm looking for? An understanding of what true Christianity is? Or have I got mixed up? Or is it something I'm not really interested in at all? Well, tonight I want us to do a little inquiry into this. What is Christianity in that sense? Now, we are often in the business as preachers, of warning folk about the eternal consequences of turning away from the true Christian faith, as we have it here in the Bible. But we're not so foolish as to think that we can give out a warning of the eternal consequences of turning away from the true Christian faith, and then everybody sees it and then they believe. No, of course not. It very rarely happens. Many who seek after the truth are honestly saying things like, "Can I believe it? Is it really life-changing? Is it worthwhile? Is it the sort of life that I want to live?" These are some of the questions and some of the answers that people have asked. Well, is there any appeal to Christianity? Why should I think that that's a better life than any other sort of life that I might live, or any other set of beliefs that I might have? How does it contrast with other styles of life that we find in this world, and particularly with my own style of life? Is there something superior to it? Is there something attractive about the Christian faith? Is there anything whereby I should say, "This is something I want. This is something I need"? Well, friends, this is partly what we look at tonight in that sort of way, a rather different way of looking at these things than we mostly do on a Sunday evening. Let's face it. If given the choice, would we not, if we could, do what we want? Whatever captivates us most, whatever interests us most, whichever draws us on most? For instance, just assume there was a great glut in the employment market. Well, young people would be immediately thinking, "Well, what would I like to do? This is great choice. So many jobs, so many careers. What would I like to do? What would give me most satisfaction? What would give me the best lifestyle, the best income?" And people would study. People would study the market, the employment market, and inquire and compare what rewards, what job satisfaction, what prospects might I have, well, that I might go for, and they would sort out very quickly where they would like to go. Same, of course, if we were seeking marriage, what sort of wife would I like, or perhaps even a car, or even a house? Well, none of those things will be of interest to most of us here this evening. I'm only giving an illustration. But the great surprise is that given the most important thing in life, our own personal beliefs and lifestyle and our own eternal future, it's so little thought about. Hardly any inquiry into these things, so little comparisons made, not like those comparing sites on the internet, to most people, there's a sort of drift into whatever comes along. Well, that will be the belief that we hold as important. I wonder if we might do a little of this neglected work here this evening. Well, an assessment of the Christian life. Is that what I'm seeking for? Is this something far superior to anything that I've seen in this world, and certainly superior to my own life in this world? This is the sort of inquiry that I want to make. Well, six things to think about concerning the Christian faith and its characteristics. Six things that might make us think for a while. Is this what I want? Is this what I'm searching for? Is this what I ought to go for in life? Seeking God for this, for myself? Don't get me wrong here, friends. To me, and many Bible believers, the Christian faith is all about what God wants, not what we want. What God has done and what he will do for our souls. And it's all about Jesus Christ dying on the cross to save poor, lost, guilty sinners like us. It may sound a little petty to think tonight, what do I want? What will be good for me? Can I make a comparison and pick out what I think is the best? That all sounds rather wretched, doesn't it? When you think about it, when you think in the end, we desperately need to be forgiven. We need to be saved. We need to be redeemed. We desperately need the grace of God to have mercy on us sinners. But knowing that that is so true, we are not mindful of the fact that there is this honest inquiry that says, is there anything in this for me? Is there anything about the Christian faith that is desirable? Clearly, if there's not, then there's no hope of me getting you interested in it. So forgive me, but I'm pandering a little here this evening to such a thought. What is there about the Christian faith that commends itself to us. What is this Christian faith as far as my everyday life is concerned? Well, if that's how we're thinking, let me try to answer that question, or rather let the Bible, of course, do that for us. Six things to think about concerning the Christian faith and its characteristics, and also that we might think for a while, is this what I'm searching for? Is this what I'm searching for in such a way that I need search no longer? I must go for this and see what the Bible says, whereby I may obtain such a life for myself. Well, we've read these few verses here, six verses, 15 to 20. And there's one such thing to consider in each of these verses. So we proceed fairly simply here. Look here in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. The word means carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. Whenever the word walk is used in the New Testament, always it's not just where you go or what you do, but what you think, how you live your life. And one of the most startling differences between the Christian faith and non-belief is that it is how a person walks through life and goes through his or her life. The Christian tries to be as possible, as much as possible, to be so careful. The Christian uses his mind. He or she may not be a great intellect, but they use their minds to be careful. The Christian is careful about the world's propaganda, the adverts that bombard us, the entertainment and the soaps that try to say, this is how to be happy. This is all carefully assessed by a Christian believer that has come into the Christian faith. And when spending money, or moving, or marrying, or getting their education, all is looked at, not with a naivety that accepts and jumps into so many situations and then go along with those things and then has to try often to escape from them. The Christian actually seeks help from God in prayer, because the Christian knows only too well his proneness to just accept and to go along with things, not always seeing the repercussions, but often even to stop and to seek help and guidance from God is enough to give time to think, and then to be careful to think things through before going ahead. Now, of course, some are like this naturally. Maybe there's even a little pride about a cautious nature. But that sort of being careful tends to only operate in certain areas. Perhaps how you spend your money, or what sort of employment you're in. Yet perhaps when it comes to other things, like family, friends, habits, things in these areas could be purely, oh well, whatever, doesn't really matter. So you might be very careful in one area of life, but all the others, we usually drift into the way that other people drift. Well, the Christian looks at everything, not in a miserable, never do anything, recluse type of way. No, of course not, but in a healthy, wide-eyed thinking way. And of course, the most careful thing for the Christian is what he believes, not as fools, says the apostle here. The world is full of foolish people, believing all sorts of foolish things because they're not careful about the way they inquire into these things. They perhaps waste their money. Some may get tied up with disastrous relationships. Others waste their years going nowhere, achieving nothing, making no real plans, no object in life worthwhile. So many think that what you believe concerning God and yourself and eternity and death and Christ, well, that's not important. It doesn't matter. Foolish enough to believe that that joke that the TV makes of Christianity is the truth. So no need to inquire into these things. The difference between Christianity and most people's lives is the difference between a careful, wise, prayerful, seeking life and the foolishness of this world. Now, I don't mean to be offensive here. These are the words of the Bible. This is what the Christian faith is. A careful look at life, a careful look at what God has said, a careful view of what this world is trying to say to us and the direction it tries to push us in, being careful about these things. Is that the sort of life you're looking for? Does the Christian faith commend itself to you? Because here, at last, you see, there is a life that is lived carefully, watching things being suspicious about so much of what the world would bring to us and make us believe would make us happy. Oh friends, how many mistakes have we made in life because we were not careful, we were not thinking, but to think about life and to process life and life's decision in the light of God's word, the Bible, and by careful prayer of what God wants for us. Is this what we want? Friends, this is Christianity. This is what the Christian faith is all about. Look at the second thing here in verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Buying back the time. Using time usefully. Well, Christians are careful about time. Well, not every single minute, but the time in their lives. The Christian faith is all about seeing time as so important in the light of eternity. It denotes a careful and diligent use of time, an improvement of it to the best advantage, a spiritual advantage, and shows that it is valuable and precious and is not to be trifled with and squandered away and lost. The Christian, in a way, is preoccupied by time, not like the boss with the work clock or the TV presenter or the publisher who's got to get his media out on time. Not like that. The Christian is preoccupied with time because they cannot bear to waste their lives. They cannot bear to waste their lives. Well, they will spend time with the family, of course, and times of relaxation with their children, of course, and when they're tired, they need to rest, of course. Sometimes it's even useful for a time to do nothing. But in terms of their life, their whole life time, there is always a, what shall I do? What should I be doing for the Lord? What can I do to improve my walk with my God? What should I be studying? Where should I be? Who should I be married to? This sort of thing, the important things of life. Are we time wasters, friends? Is life passing us by? Nothing really to say about it? Nothing really done or achieved? That is, nothing that will mean much in eternity? Are you looking for a life where time is so important in that sense? Because there is so much that you want to do, so much that will be so worthwhile. You want to pack every day in with so much? Is this what you look for? This is the Christian faith, friends. And our whole lifetime will mean something at the end of it if we live that sort of life. Let's look at the third thing here, verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Friends, this is all about inquiry. Not just about anything, but about what God wants. The will of the Lord is what God wants. His pleasure, his wish. For us, of course, his will. The Christian faith is all about inquiry. It's about investigation. Now, of course, many people inquire into certain things, nearly always just one area, and the most ordinary inquiry is for perhaps a limited end, perhaps to pass an examination or a quiz, or you inquire in some way how you might repair the car or the computer or the washing machine, of course, or you inquire at the doctor to find what's wrong, what's that secret pain that you can't put your finger on and don't really know what it's about. But none of these inquiries compare with the ultimate inquiry. What is life all about? What is man? What's he here for in this world? What of God? Is he real? What characteristics has our God and Maker? And what about eternity? What do I know of that? And of the soul? This real part of me that will go on when I quit this life? And what about good and evil? Have I inquired into that? Is there such a thing as salvation? What could compare, friends, with these inquiries? What is God's will? What does he want? And especially, what does he want of me? And notice that this verse says that this sort of inquiry is the most lofty pursuit that we could have in life. Do you see it there? Oh, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, to know what our God wants of us. Oh, friends, what God wants of us here and in eternity. Oh, friends, how that God made this world and made us, and we rebelled against him, and threw all those good things that he gave to us and snatched them from him, as it were, as if they were ours by right, rebelling against him. And then when he sent his son, we ignore him. And when he speaks to us and tells us what he wants of us, well, this is what God's will is for us and for eternity. Now, the unwise, the foolish thing to do in life is to not have a care in the world about these things. No digging, no questions, no thought, no wanting to know. What are most people going to say on entering eternity and face God when he says, well, what did you make of life now that it's over? Are they going to say, well, I never gave it a thought? And what will the God who gave us our minds and our faculties and a wonderful world to study and indeed a conscience, what will he say when we admit, well, we hardly gave it a thought? And add to that that God has given to us this Bible that tells us all that we need to know about what God wants. And we then turn around and say, well, I never thought about it. The dividing line between the wise and the foolish is pretty clear here. But let alone for the moment of our judgment, what about the here and now? Are we so unthinking, so spiritually insensitive, that we have not the slightest interest in what God wants? Surely not. Surely there is some curiosity, at least some vestige of, who am I? What am I? Why am I here? What's life all about? What does God want of me? What's his will for my life? Christianity is all inquiry. It never stops. It becomes all absorbing. A lifelong study that never goes stale or boring. Incidentally, that's why Christians are always studying their Bible. They can't get enough of it. Understanding what God wants, what his will is, that's a vast, vast subject that takes over the intellect and the whole life. Is that the sort of thing you long for? Is that what you want? Does that not seem superior to any other life that you have looked into? That's the Christian faith. Life of inquiry. Look here quickly at the fourth thing here in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Christian faith is where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, takes over. You know, when someone gets intoxicated, either mildly or totally, we say things like, that's the drink talking. Well, that's the drink that makes him do that. Or it's the drink that's done that to him. Well, this verse is telling us that there is something vastly more superior and elevating than that. Yet the drink is the picture. Christianity is where someone is taken up with Christ, with Christian things. Of a real Christian, it can be said, it's God that makes him talk like that. It's God that makes her talk like that. It's God that makes him live like that. It's God that has done that to him. Of course, some might well say that in a derogatory way. They may say it in contempt. But it's absolutely true of a real Christian. God, the Holy Spirit, has taken over. He's taken control of that life. Not like a robot directing by a control box, but the principles that lie in the heart of a Christian believer, the motives that direct the life and character of that believer, the directions of the Bible, they are the guiding principle of all that the Christian does and says. All are moved by the Holy Spirit, by God's Spirit, by God dwelling in them in a spiritual way in the life of that believer. What a difference. What's the difference to those who only get drunk or have only other things working in them, but nothing else but the normal sinful habits of men? Anyone here looking for this? For a superior life? Something that rises far above the ordinary wretched lives of many people in this world? Friends, this is the Christian faith. Someone being directed by the Holy Spirit of God. The fifth thing, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What's Christianity? What's the Christian life all about? It's about worship, friends. It's all about worshipping. This is the most difficult thing to get over to non-believers. The Christian is one who worships. Now, put out of your mind for a moment what we see here on a Sunday evening. We come, we sing, we pray, we listen, all good things. Well, we urge you to come Sunday by Sunday. But what you see is only the outward thing. A Christian actually loves. A Christian actually praises God from his heart. He comes and within himself and in his mind and in his heart, he offers true worship and love and praise and appreciation to God, the God of his salvation. So many really love nothing, except perhaps themselves, or hopefully their near families. But don't you wish that you had a real passion for someone or something? In the ordinary world, when someone has a passion for someone or something, it takes over. It's all consuming. Everything in life is directed to enjoying it. Nothing gets in the way. Life is so satisfying in that direction. And it can be rich. There is such a sense of achievement, even. Well, friends, in a far superior way for the Christian, well, it's God becomes the true object of his true devotions and worship. And he worships him truly from his heart. To love God, to serve him, to study him from the scriptures, to be taken up with our God, to have him direct all other important things in life, to have him cultivate all the best things in our life and characters, such as family relationships and our personal habits and the big goals in life. Well, that's really everything. And that's worship, not something sentimental or stupid singing and hand clapping. This is the life-changing, real purpose of life here. That God is everything and he is worshipped. And that's Christianity, friends. That's what the Christian faith is all about. It's what we are seeking for if we're truly looking for this superior life. Surely this must be what we're searching for. That a life that brings us into a true relationship with God so that we love him and we worship him and we serve him. Oh, friends, is this not what we're looking for as we inquire into the Christian faith? No, last thing here, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the last thing we'll think of tonight. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. What a miserable world we live in. So begrudging, so grabbing, so this is my right, so unappreciative, so ungrateful. And let's face it, so often that's what we are. Even a veneer of politeness. Well, what real thanks do we render from our hearts to the living God? Christians, true Christians, are thankful. All things that come their way, well, the very food they eat, the air they breathe, their jobs, their homes, their children, spouses, husbands, wives, peace, health, whatever they think they have. Well, they thank God for it. And each day they live in thankfulness to the God on high who grants them all these wonderful gifts. But there are greater things to thank God for. Eternal things. Forgiveness of sin. Pardon from a sinful life. Salvation. Jesus Christ. Oh, Christians are so thankful for these things and that person. Thankful for prayer. Thankful for the purpose they have in life. Oh, so thankful for spiritual safety and for the Bible that they love to come to day by day and heaven to crown it all, that we often feel so wretched at our own coldness, our hardness, our snatching and taking things for granted. If only we were thankful. It's pleasant in and of itself, but you cannot cultivate this yourself. No one is ever thankful to God for food until they come to trust in him for salvation, and they're thankful for that and for that eternal life that God has granted to them. Don't you long to be thankful? Isn't that what we want to be like? That's the Christian faith, friends. That's what Christianity is all about. Does Christianity have any appeal to you? Is it not vastly superior to any other kind of life and thinking that we have experienced? This is what Christian conversion brings. Such a change in the life. So that now we're so different. We can never be the same again. Christianity is like no other life. The Christian is so careful how he walks through life. He walks by prayer and looking into God's word. Time is so important to him. He wants his life to be a life of purpose for the Lord and for a Christian. But he wants to know what God wants. Every day he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where should I be? What should I be saying? How should I think? He wants to know what God's will is. And the Christian faith is where a Christian knows what it is to have God, the Holy Spirit, as the overwhelming factor in his life, guiding him, directing him, comforting him, showing him how to pray, granting him holiness. And the Christian faith means that a person is taken up with and worships God alone. And his life is characterized also by thanks to God. Friends, I commend this life to you. No other sort of life is worthy or worthwhile. Indeed, no other life will God accept. And this life may be ours as we come in true repentance, trusting in the Saviour and yielding up our lives to him. The Christian faith is the only noble life. It's the only happy life, the only fulfilling life and real life. It's the only eternal life that we may know, and only God can give it to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came into this world to bring such a life to us, abundant life, wonderful life, that will be experienced not just in this life, but in the life which is to come. I commend to you the Christian faith. Amen. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we pray that thou put these things upon our hearts and minds tonight, that we might long after these things, that we might see the emptiness of this world and even our own lives perhaps, and oh Lord, that we might seek thee, seek thy blessing, seek thy forgiveness, that such a life may be ours. Grant it to us, we ask it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let's sing together hymn number 516. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. 516.